Landowners on Kangaroo Island say they should be allowed to do more burn-offs ahead of the next bushfire season. A Senate committee was on KI yesterday investigating the impact of the region's bushfires on vulnerable species. Beekeeper Peter Davis was there. He's from the local landscape board and he joins me on the line now. Hi, Peter.
Good morning, Jenny.
So there is a law in place to protect the environment, but it's making it harder to do clearings and burn-offs.
Yeah, the native vegetation legislation was brought in 1991. And then in 1992, the government of the day and the Minister for Sustainability, Environment and Protection brought in the Wilderness Act and declared a lot of the west end of Kangaroo Island wilderness. So these two acts have had, they're supposed to be there for the protection of the environment. But what they've done is they've prevented landowners from using fire as a management tool without they draw up a very complex plan and get approval.
Right, yeah. So what do you have to do to get approval? Because I understand there are provisions within the Act regarding fire breaks.
Yes, there are. And like, I was on the Native Vegetation Council for 6 years from its inception until 97 when, and I was representing Farmers Federation at the time. I was their nominee. I tried to get them to understand that burning is not clearance if you're using it to safeguard your community, to safeguard the environment in which you live. Now, in addition to the Native Vegetation Act, farmers and the whole reserve system that protects native vegetation, farmers want to protect their creek lines. They want windbreaks. They want shelter for their stock and their crops. And so under the land care fencing, a lot of landholders fenced off creek lines and shelter belts. But they weren't allowed to manage them so that they would be sustainable. And what we've had, unless you did this big planning thing. Now, we had big fires in 2007 on the west end of Kangaroo Island. A lot of Flinders Chase was burnt then and a lot of adjoining land. But we didn't lose any houses or livestock and virtually no fences. But this time, because nothing was done, even though the... What's been frustrating farmers is that they haven't been told that there's been changes. Mm. And it's only come out since this fire that the Native Vegetation Council and the regulations were changed to allow farmers to do things under supervision from the CFS. But all the CFS people are volunteers. So they didn't have time to do it and they didn't know exactly what the rules were. So this is the frustrating part.
Yes, and from what I understand, you must feel at least somewhat hopeful that $37 million is going into not only prescribed burns around parks and private land endorsed by the state government, but they're looking to educate landholders, because it sounds like it's really confusing on what you can and can't do.
That's exactly right. And the other thing that's happened is that because we had a spate of arsonists, we found out in this last month or so that if a landholder clears his fence line on a roadside and he pushes the clearance, if he doesn't push it onto his property to burn it, he can be fined for burning it on the roadside.
Right.
So this is an unintended consequence of legislation that was brought in to stop something else.
And most people would be aware of the importance and usefulness of doing burn-offs and clearing, but can you tell us about why you endorse it and why that's a really good move ahead of the next bushfire season?
It's the only way that we can stop continuous fuel loads unless we spend a lot of money just clearing the land with bulldozers and other land clearing equipment.
Mm.
So if roadsides were the wicks that brought the fire from the west to the east, roadsides and creek lines, we could stop it in the paddocks, but we couldn't stop the fire when it was in roadside vegetation. And so it's really important. But it's really important for those corridors which the animals and birds and insects use to protect them and provide safe havens for the, you know, the inhabitants of those roadside vegetation corridors.
So, Peter, would you like a change to the legislation?
I think it's necessary. Mm. Or I think there's got to be a lot more freedom. And I think we've got to go back to what the Aborigines used to do. And, you know, the elders in the Aborigine community teach their young people how to use fire responsibly. We've got to do that. Like my father taught me to respect fire, but how to use it. I've taught my kids. And but now there's so many restrictions and so many misunderstandings about fire. And there's a whole range of people that have come through university that say, oh, we don't know enough about the effect of fire, so we won't use it. You exclude fire from the environment and you get disasters like we're having now.
Mm.
I was really heartened to see the New South Wales fire chief saying, we are going to burn to protect our cities. We are going to burn to protect our urban areas and not let what happened in California, where whole suburbs are wiped out because the fires come in through the native vegetation and just keep going.
Well, Peter, I really appreciate your time today. Thanks so much for joining me on the show.
Thank you, Jenny.
Joining me for some clarity is SA Minister for Environment, David Spears. Welcome, Minister.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Now, in a moment, let's talk about the provisions and how people can actually do burn-offs in certain areas. But first, what are the aims of the Native Vegetation Act and the Wilderness Protection Act?
Well, those two acts aim to protect the natural environment, and native vegetation is a very precious part of our environment and creates habitat, cleans up the air, of course, by absorbing emissions and also adds to the lifestyle and amenity of our landscapes. So good things, always about striking a balance, of course, and we try to do so, but both of those acts aim to protect our natural environment first and foremost.
Right. So it's my understanding that a lot of landholders are struggling if they are in an area that is deemed to be a wilderness area or has native vegetation in it, to be able to do a burn-off. What rights do they have? What provisions are there?
Well, they've got reasonably strong rights to be able to do a burn-off. Like any of these burn-offs, all they need to really do is liaise with my department and the CFS to get approval, and the CFS can quite easily give approval. And in fact, we undertook the Kilty review, so we've got very respected former federal police head, Mick Kilty, to do a review into the bushfires and what had gone well and what hadn't. And he said one of the biggest challenges was landowners not understanding their rights and believing that this was much more difficult than it is. And he said government needs to help educate the South Australian community, but particularly that land managers, that the burning off of native vegetation is much easier than they perhaps believe. There seems to be a bit of a myth out there that it's all too hard, when in fact, as Mick Kilty said, it is not.
Right, so it's just a matter of getting in touch with the CFS or your department, the Department for Environment, and yeah, just asking how
exactly
to make an... Yeah.
And particularly right, the local CFS will have that nuanced understanding of the particular community that's involved, and the particular it changes depending on whether you're in a wilderness area or what the native vegetation's like. So I don't want to drill into specifics today, but to get in touch with the local CFS brigade, they will have an officer who's able to provide that advice, and this should be fairly easy. That's what Mick Kilty said was the case. This is easier than people believed, and they should feel confident that they can move forward with this.
Mm. What's your understanding of the need to do burn-offs ahead of bushfire season, how that can prevent really serious events from happening?
Well, the government's very supportive of doing burn-offs, and not only individual landowners having the confidence and capability to get approval for those, but also government taking a leadership with burning on public land, but also private land. And we announced on Friday that we are applying a huge amount of additional funding to enable burn-offs to occur and be led by government on both public and private land, because, of course, fire doesn't just come to a screaming halt when it gets to a fence line and it changes tenure. So this is something the government made a huge commitment to last week. And the reporting in the Advertiser, I have to say, today's reporting was abysmal. Very poor journalism there, and I'll call that out. The journalist in question needs to take a good look at that article, because it fails to say that the government has applied $37 million more over the coming years to really turbocharge the amount of prescribed burning that we're doing. And South Australians should have the confidence that we are going to do this. Prescribed burning reduces the fuel load, and it's good for ecology as well.
Yeah. So I understand from having a chat to someone in your office that part of that money will also be spent on education and getting in touch with farmers and landowners about what to do and what they can and can't do.
There'll be a bit of an education awareness raising campaign, and there will also be, importantly, some track clearances and access points increased and enhanced through the Flinders Chase National Park in particular, on Kangaroo Island, while that is a burnt landscape, and also looking at areas like Cape Gambier Wilderness Area on the north coast of Kangaroo Island.
Mm. Well, I really appreciate your time today, Minister Spears. Thanks for joining us.
No problem at all. Thank you.